Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, May the 8th, 126th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 2nd, Estelle Fennell. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. Really good. Nice to be here.
I'm having challenges finding the quote, but you know what? I've got a couple minutes, so I will be prepared when it comes time for that. We'll also be talking, in addition to the quote, a little bit about the some of the challenges that Southern Humboldt experiences annually, particularly after the weather starts to change.
Oh.
So we'll kick that one around a little bit. And then Estella's got something that we've not talked about before, multi-generational center.
Yeah.
So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what that means and who it should mean it for.
Yep.
Something like that when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell and her Wonder Machine. Well, you,
that's
you,
my, I, my,
did you
my
turn
iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Oh, but I haven't turned mine off, but mine's not in this room. So. You just put it on the carpet. Nobody'd ever know.
Yeah, well,
you just sound like it was alive. Our quote this afternoon comes from General Douglas MacArthur. Sometime between 1880 and 1964 said, quote, "The best luck of all is the luck you make for yourself."
Oh, I like that one.
I figured that was pretty safe, tame, non-confrontational.
That's a good one, yeah. I like it.
So how's life been treating you the last weeks since we've got together last?
Brian, it's exciting. It gets better every day. You know, the more challenges that come up and I realize that we can actually address them, the happier I get. It's just wonderful.
Do you, or have you gotten to the point yet where you know which ones you can and which ones you can't?
I don't know that. Yeah, I am. I'm at that point, you know, where it's not like I can say for certain, but I know there are certain issues where my chances of being able to change the course of history, let's say, are not as strong as they are with others. But that being said, I think a lot of what we've got in front of us can actually be nudged along in a positive direction, and that feels really good.
So what's the single most exciting topic right now for you?
Well, I got to say, you know, for the 2nd District, especially the Local Area Formation Commission, LAFCO, and I'm on that board along with the Supervisor Bass, who is the chair of the board. We held a special meeting this May 1st, and that was in order to go forward with the annexation of the Riverwalk area in Fortuna. Now, this had been something that had been kind of lagging a little, and we just made a determination at staff very promisingly, let's say, agreed to move that forward a little faster. It could have waited till the 15th of May, but everything in that world needs to move at a good clip. So the staff of the LAFCO worked diligently with the staff in Fortuna and addressed all the outstanding issues that needed to be addressed for this annexation, and we were able to approve it on Wednesday the 1st, which is, for my way of thinking, a really positive step forward.
Now, one of the challenges with annexation, as I recall, is that it has to be revenue neutral.
Yeah.
So if I've got, let's say, a car dealership
or
somebody who's generating sales tax dollars, jurisdiction one is making, let's say, $100,000 off of that sales tax. Well, if it goes into the jurisdiction two, somehow jurisdiction two has to make jurisdiction one whole for that amount.
Yeah.
Pretty rudimentary, but is that still pretty much the case?
Well, we have a standing formula with, you know, the various cities, and that formula will be adhered to. I think that the bottom line here is we had a lot of vacant land, not particularly a major revenue source in the first place. Now that will actually be developed in the same, according to the Fortuna General Plan, which is basically addressed to the tourist industry. So you're going to get those kind of developments there. And that whole area where the River Lodge is, Eel River Brewery is hopping.
Oh, yeah, the hotels and all that.
Yeah, it is one of the most active areas of Fortuna, and I think that this is going to add to it. It will add, and as I've said on many occasions now when we talk about the various jurisdictions, what's good for Fortuna is good for Humboldt County. What's good for Eureka, same thing. We've got to work together and realize that whoever is able to move forward in a positive direction that will bring more revenue in, it's good for all of us. So
is this something that the county started, or is this something that the city had requested? And then
City asked for it, and LAFCO approved it. So the bottom line here is there were a few issues that had to be worked out between the city and the county. There was one of the parts that was included in this annexation was a virtual island where Sequoia Gas was. That was county property, right, pretty much in the middle of the city. Now that is a part of the city.
Now how did that?
Oh, don't ask me how they came up with it. I think actually what happened was that the last time they looked at expanding the city boundaries, the owners of Sequoia Gas didn't feel it appropriate at the time.
So it just kind of moved in
they
all around.
They kind of moved right. Yeah, Fortuna does have what's the word I want to use? Their philosophy that they don't want to push a property owner unnecessarily if they want to stay out. And in fact, in this case, there is one section that might look as if, why did we leave this little diamond out? It's an aggregate company, and they decided that they were doing much better just dealing with the county, all of their permits, et cetera, with the county, and they felt it would just add another layer if they were to be annexed, and it won't impact. So that was looked at.
It really kind of makes sense. You know, if you've got a relationship with certain people in a certain department, and you have to start all over from scratch. And
yeah.
Let's say it took you 10 or 15 years to finally get everybody on the same page.
One of the other exciting things about this annexation, and I really keep pushing Fortuna as one of the areas where Humboldt County.
Can we come back to the excitement
in a sec? Absolutely.
It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back with exciting Estelle. Well, okay, fine.
Okay, thank you. What were we talking about?
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the annexation and how sometimes there are property holders who just want to kind of stay where they are, and that's okay, and nobody takes any offense to that. And then you said, but the really exciting...
Well, I think the really exciting part of it is that Fortuna, generally speaking, in my view, is one of the areas where we can really do some diversification of the economy, improve the economy. We can do lots in Fortuna, and I'm hoping to see that as we move forward. In this particular case, what Fortuna did, which I think was extremely wise of them, is they made sure that none of the annexation involved the Coastal Commission. They kept it all within the city, away from the coastal zone. Fortuna doesn't have a really huge coastal zone.
Yeah, you almost have to go looking for it.
Yeah, right. And there was an area in there that where it touched, and so they kept it clear of that. And there was one little bit of a discussion at our meeting about the the water treatment plant, which, according to an old map, was smack dab in the middle, and they kind of drew around it. And as it turned out, it's not. It's right on the property line, so it's within the city and outside of the coastal zone. So what's going to happen here is there's already a national chain that was interested in establishing an establishment there, and that should be moving forward pretty quickly now that that it's been signed.
Because it's out of the county?
Right.
Because it's into the city, or because it's clearly outside the coastal zone?
Because it's whatever, because it's signed off on. The annexation was in process, it couldn't be done, and now it can.
Reagan was in last week and was talking a little bit about the fact that the old Parlatos is going to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, even though, and there are a number of other empty long-term business establishments throughout the area that are also needing occupants.
Yeah.
It's always been intriguing to me that if a place that's always been active, always been full, goes dark, how it feels like something is wrong.
Yes.
And then when it gets filled with something, at least in a similar business, everything's okay. But if you put in, let's say, a secondhand store, that just doesn't feel right.
That feels like, what's happening here? Why are we doing this?
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
What's wrong with this picture? Yeah. I will give kudos to Regan Candelaria. I think he's doing a great job. He's also got a very good attitude with regard to working with the county. And I think that's the key to the future of our county is people working together rather than in competition with each other.
We've been hearing positive comments about the planning department.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that an interesting phrase to say? Hamlin running the store, obviously Kevin was a known factor out of Eureka and Crescent City and Del Norte County, which is why he was brought back.
Well, the thing about Kevin, and I think he's doing a wonderful job of responding to the concerns in the community. He's a solution-oriented kind of guy. He knows the regulations. He's a planner. He knows what needs to be looked at in a process. But at the same time, he's open to looking at solutions for what might have been a roadblock before. And that, I think, is key.
So not to put you too much on the tip of the spear here, but is that going to be the profile you look for as other appointed department heads either take other jobs, retire out, move on, that kind of thing? Is there a template there that the team used to hire Kevin that can be used for other departments? appointed department heads?
Well, from my perspective, yes. I don't mind being on the tip of the spear, because the bottom line is here, we are talking about change. This is why the voters put me in this position and the other supervisors as well. I think, you know, for too long the county's gotten a reputation for not being as user-friendly, if you will. So the bottom line here is what I see as the function of the various departments is to serve the community. And that's what I would be looking for in anybody who's heads up a department, is, you know, somebody who's aware that that is their task and so, who can help work with the people working under them, too.
So with the huge landmass that is unincorporated or county mm-hmm. jurisdiction in the second.
Yep.
How does that play out? Do you see Avenue of the Giants getting smoother, easier, more businesses and business development? Garberville the same way? Has there been a pent-up demand or Redway to be able to then get some stuff starting to happen?
Well,
More stuff getting to happen.
Thank you for bringing up Avenue of the Giants, because that to me is an absolute jewel. I mean, so many people want to come to our community and travel up that avenue. And wouldn't it be lovely if there were some more businesses along the way that can serve the tourist trade, et cetera?
And those that don't have, that used to be as part of their name?
Exactly. And I think that the more people feel that the county will work with them, the more you're going to see that people willing to take the risk of establishing new business, et cetera. And I'm glad you brought that up also on the other level. Another kudo out to Kevin. The town of Phillipsville has a lot of issues with regard to how they're going to be zoned in the general plan update and dealing with the floodplain issues and how and all of these things. And it's difficult. So what I've seen is a community trying to be involved in the process but not quite understanding what the process is. I asked Kevin if he'd be willing to come down and talk with the community, and he said sure. So we're going to be having a meeting Thursday evening with the community and Kevin and myself, and we'll talk a little bit about what is the community's vision for Phillipsville? How can we move forward?
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Burns Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam, or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell, Humboldt County Supervisor. Estelle, the concept of a multi-generational center sounds like it's like a meeting house, gathering spot, a park, something along those mm-hmm. lines, rather than something that is would even need to have governmental involvement associated
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
How far off the mark am I?
You're not off the mark. It's the multi-generational center in Fortuna is another model of how Fortuna is moving forward, and that is cooperation between the private sector, nonprofit sector, and government to a certain degree. So what we've got here we just recently cut the ribbon on is the multi-generational center. It's been a vision for a long time of Dean Lucas, who passed away, who is with the McLean Foundation. And the McLean Foundation has been very instrumental in being able to move that forward, along with a couple of other local foundations. So what you have is the concept of people who are in their elder years, alone in a lot of cases, being able to mix with young kids. And cross that generational boundary. You know that.
So
that
they're learning Xbox games.
Well, hopefully. I mean, you know, if you look at the traditional family structure that came out of the little village in the formation of our civilization, a lot of times the mom and dad were doing what the mom and dad had to do to provide food and care for the kids, and the grandparents took care of the little ones a lot of times. And that's not doesn't happen as much in our structured society. What happens here now is that the kids and the elders will be hanging out together. And I actually talked to somebody from one of the local schools who said that they would love now that this is going it this way to bring the kids over and bring their computers and help people who are maybe not as savvy about the internet stay in touch with their families who may not even be in Fortuna. So there's a really nice feel to it, and it's beautifully laid out. There's a nice garden in the back, all sorts of things that people can be involved in. And I saw there at the ribbon cutting such a cross-section of the community and such optimism. It was wonderful, just really good. And there was a little gal that I met, very old, Esther, who actually now
not to be confused with Estelle.
No.
Yeah, okay.
A good pal. And Esther has vision problems, so, you know, she needs help, et cetera. And so she used to go there all the time, and now because of this shift, she actually has to go to a daycare center, be bused up to Eureka, but she can still spend time there. And I thought it was pretty significant that Esther felt very happy to hold the ribbon for the ribbon cutting, even though she might be losing some of the services she got out of there. She'll be gaining so much more by this being a really good model. And I hope we see that actually in other areas too.
It's interesting when a community project comes together.
Oh,
you can tell real easy, is this something that is being embraced,
yes,
and supported, or something being foisted upon,
yes,
and almost a repulsion too.
Yeah. And there was a little bit of a little bit of a pushback at the beginning from seniors who were, you know, I mean, understandably, we can all get stuck in our ways. And if you're a senior, you can probably run the risk of doing that a little bit more. But, you know, there I had one guy who's, I actually really like him. He's a bit of a curmudgeon. And he goes, you know, I already, got rid of my grandchildren. I don't need some more hanging around. But then he laughed and he said, "No, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun." But you know, people do get stuck in their ways and that. And there will be some seniors who would prefer not to have a bunch of kids around. But there's plenty of room.
Well, and I would imagine certain times of the day, the kids aren't going to be quite so
rambunctious.
Prevalent.
oh yeah, absolutely. They won't be there at all.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we learn from each other, and there can sometimes be a tension between the kids and the elders, and they can both learn from hanging out together. So
I would imagine, particularly in reflection of the honor flight stuff that's been going on, mm-hmm, and some of the other things that the kids, and depending on the age of the kids, certainly, that if it clicks that there's a resource, even if it's just oral tradition,
mm-hmm,
where they can tap in and say, what was the Korean War like?
Yep. Oh,
and
that's
some
so
of these
fascinating,
folks,
yeah,
feel comfortable in sharing.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like when you came back? What was it like? What was Fortuna like at that? You know, and use them as more than just somebody to play a game with,
yep,
but an opportunity to learn a little bit more and develop a friendship with them. I would think that there's a cool chance there for some real magic to occur.
I think so. I mean, that really is the foundation of a lot of our history. It's the foundation even of our literary tradition. I mean, before there were books, there were people passing on stories to each other. That's where our history came from.
And some of us with good memories would tend to embellish things slightly. Remember some facts that weren't necessarily shared with all at the time. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back, final segment with Estelle.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, one of the things Southern Humboldt is dealing with this time of the year also tends to be an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we talk about the homeless and some of the challenges in the Humboldt Bay region, typically it's Eureka because all the services are made more readily available.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Humboldt, the services aren't so readily available. The weather is certainly different. Mm-hmm. The climate is different. And I would argue the culture is a little bit different, too.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that the homeless problems, challenges in Southern Humboldt are different than the rest of the county? Or just more Southern Humboldt's because that's where it's occurring?
You know, we do have issues as practically every community in this nation has now. And I'm trying to look, I've been really trying to outreach and see how can we address them in a positive way and move our community forward. And the more I look at it, the more I realize that quite a few communities have had unique type challenges, unique to them. One part of our uniqueness is that there's been a word out there that there are quote-unquote trimming jobs, and people can come from anywhere and be picked up
any
and
time
get a
of
job.
The year.
Well, and yeah. It just doesn't work that way. And
no, don't you have to have the cardboard with the scissors on it to get the jobs?
So that's one, and that's particular to Southern Humboldt to some degree, although I know that the Mendocino County had that issue as well. Now, the other issue, of course, as you mentioned, is the weather. You know, it's pretty nice. A little easier to hang out outside.
You don't have to worry about is the wardrobe changes during the summer, like you do in some of the coastal climes.
Exactly. Yeah. So now, on the other hand, in the winter, Southern Humboldt can be wet and windy and very, very cold. So that's why it's a season. Some part of the influx is seasonal. So we're looking at all of these things right now. We had a meeting, and there's another one coming up, and it was planned out by the Garberville Redway Public Restroom Working Group. They have one issue about biological needs of people. But they put together a group of stakeholders, quote unquote, and each one of those stakeholders had one representative. So it's an invitation only meeting, and it's
and I didn't get on the mailing list again.
No, you didn't, Brian.
Thank you very
so
much.
A lot of people didn't, that was, you know, a tough one for them to have to deal with. But I think in the long run, it leads to, and it's a facilitated meeting too. So we're looking at, first of all, what the issues are, and now, what are the potential solutions? And we'll see where it goes.
You had mentioned Northern Mendocino. Is there any effort for the region to be able to work with? I mean, Southern Humboldt certainly, I don't think it's anything in common with Northern Humboldt in this particular discussion point. And Western Trinity and Northern Mendocino, and to see if there's something to be done or to see if there's even interest in having anything done.
I think it would be even more difficult than just the situation as it is right now. The county does provide a lot of services for people who are down on their luck. I mean, we've got a satellite office of the Department of Health and Human Services in Garberville. You can be referred to some of the centers here in the northern part of in the Bay area of Humboldt County. There are things that the county is doing, but I think in this case, the private sector and most especially the spiritual sector needs to be involved. It is the traditional role of the church to help the needy. And I actually sat at one of the tables with one of the pastors and then met another one just the other day at a Rotary function, and he said, you know, if every church took in one or two homeless people, there wouldn't be any homeless. So the church has to recognize its role also in that.
You know, that almost leads into the whole discussion about Betty Chin, but we ran out of time.
Well, there will be more.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I don't know if that's exciting, interesting, or maddening. The stuff, none of the stuff we've talked about today. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to go away. It'll always be there.
We'll always have a chance to better it. Yeah, and exactly. And what we really need to do is also look at the makeup of our communities and how we can make it a good experience, a positive experience.
So I'm waiting for Phillipsville to hit 5,000.
Okay.
We'll see if the general plan allows that one. Huh? Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian. See you again soon.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.